Right, hey, it's Dave here. This is The Cinemilist, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. I'm not with my wife, Kathy, today because she had no interest in seeing this movie. But I found someone who did. This is my friend, Joe Kiley. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Dave. Thank you very much.
Now, listeners of this podcast may be familiar with you. So we've podcasted a lot together over the years. A lot of our listeners may have heard us on Shitegeist, Flicks Watcher. Or you've made many appearances on our Patreon, plug patreon.com/thecinemile. But I think this is the first time you've ever actually done this.
The walk thing. Right?
This is unfamiliar to you.
First experience of this.
You didn't bring a jacket either.
As long as we walk briskly, I'll be okay.
You are not equipped for cinemiling.
We are in the middle of the road as well. Maybe if we go.
Yeah, that's also a no-no in the cinemiling. Yeah, let's get off the road.
But furthermore, I think this is the first, this is maybe the second time the two of us have spoken on any kind of recording device in the same room. It's only ever been remote.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Anyway.
So here we are. So we're going to see John Wick Chapter 4. What's your sort of feelings about this franchise so far?
When the first John Wick came out, I kind of thought it was going to be another Taken. And it's sort of like Taken sort of walked so that John Wick could run, essentially. And like when I watched the first one, I had a lot of fun with it. They're not high art, but there's certainly something that's entertaining about it. I think like there's spectacle, there's martial arts, there's action, and in these days it's sort of rare to have a really good example of that.
Yeah, they're kind of singular, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very much their own thing.
Yeah.
It seems like a live-action comic or maybe a video game.
Well, I think that's where we've gotten to. I feel like this franchise didn't really start there. I feel like the first John Wick movie is almost like it doesn't fit with the rest of them, almost, right? It's so down-to-earth and basic compared to where we got to in the last two movies, which I will only describe as gobbledygook. I could not tell you for the life of me what happened in John Wick 2 and 3. I remember there was a nightclub, I guess minor spoilers for places that happened in those movies. There was a nightclub, there was who's the bad guy in the second one? It was the girl from Batgirl, maybe? And then the third one, he's wandering through a desert, I guess, and there's an awesome knife fight scene. So for me, I mean, like, I have no idea, really, this franchise has been swallowed by its own lore. It's become so silly and absurd, but I love it because it's just a feast for the eyes. You're just going to watch incredibly choreographed action scenes. And I'm totally happy with that.
So one of the things that it's worth mentioning about the previous movies is that they borrow very heavily from East Asian cinema and from other Hollywood action franchises. But in particular, they love The Matrix. They absolutely love everything to do with The Matrix.
Well, there's history there. The director, Chad something, Stileski, is it? He was the stunt double for Keanu Reeves on the first Matrix, right?
I see.
And was a martial arts coordinator on the next one. That's where this John Wick was born.
That explains
on the
a lot.
Matrix, yeah.
That explains a lot.
And this guy is—he's only directed four movies. It's the four John Wick movies. I would say he's an auteur.
I guess you could. You could say that.
But the dude knows how to choreograph martial arts scenes like no one else, and gun violence.
I guess, I watched some of the action sequences from the previous ones just to refresh. And like one of the things that stood out was that they pretty much remade the lobby fight scene from Matrix in that Continental Hotel in the third one. So like,
don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, oh wait, is that at the end?
It's at the end
maybe.
Of that. The end of the third one. But they like, and they brought back Lawrence Fishburne, and like
literally forgot he was in it.
Yeah,
thanks. And he's like a pigeon man or something.
He sure is. He's. The lady from Home Alone 2, he's playing Brenda Fricker's character, and I think Jason Mantzoukas carries John Wick off.
Oh my
end.
God, I forgot he was in it. Isn't it amazing though? You can watch a movie and then it's just gone. Like these movies, there's no substance to any of it.
No,
but it is a feast for the eyes nonetheless, and I'm quite looking forward to seeing this.
Well, I think the challenge with these movies is keeping it engaging, because it is. just a string of fight scenes.
Yeah.
And I think the way that I have come to look at these films is almost like musical theatre.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. It's ballet,
well,
isn't it?
Well, yeah. I guess particularly because... like in musical theatre, people spontaneously break in and inorganically break into song and dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this case, they just break into combat and choreographed violence.
Yeah.
And then there's very little connective tissue.
But, and that's what you go for, right?
Yes.
That's, you go to musical theatre for the songs, you go to John Wick for the fights.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, my only concern with this movie is the length. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes, which... that's one of big Kathy's big no-nos, and she also gets bored by action scenes, so there is nothing, there's literally nothing in this movie for Kathy, so I think she made the right decision.
Yeah, I absolutely support that choice. I think, like, if you know going in that there's nothing in it for you, then like, I totally support the choice to walk away from
and
this.
And I'm nervous for the both of us.
It's also a bad idea
this
to jump in the fourth installment.
Well, that too. All right, we better head in. It's starting soon. So we'll see you on the other side of John Wick Chapter 4.
Saying goodbyes?
Saying hello.
You think your wife can hear you?
No.
Then why bother?
Maybe I'm wrong.
You're going to die.
Maybe not.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend.
A new day is dawning. New ideas, new rules, new management.
We've known each other since we were 9 or 10.
Who is this?
The Marquis de Grammont.
Challenge him to single combat. Win or lose, it's a way out. I don't sit at the table.
Your family does.
Please pray for me.
Hi, we're back. We've seen John Wick Chapter 4. If it's your first time at the cinema, this is the bit where we don't spoil the movie. So you can listen away. I mean, there's nothing to spoil. some more gobbledygook happened. But we will, of course, this is Joe's first time ever turning onto Spoiler Street, so I'll show you where it is, Joe, don't worry.
Thank you very much.
It's very clearly labelled.
I'll know for future where to go.
Yes, exactly. So, Joe, how you feel? That was like being punched in the face for 3 hours. how you feel? Are you okay?
I'm good. I would liken this to, if you've ever been to an NBA game,
I've been to a professional basketball game.
Sure.
It wasn't NBA.
But like, there are certain sports, like, they score so often, it's impossible to remain excited for the entire thing.
Yeah,
and these movies are a bit like that, where it's like, you know, there are fight scenes that are completely gone from my memory, even now, immediately out of the cinema.
Yes.
I have forgotten them completely. And that's not to the detriment of the film. I think there are also standout parts. So there are bits... There are visuals and there are set pieces and there are, oh my god, the dialogue. The dialogue is atrocious.
Do you want to... Yeah, it's... And not only is the dialogue atrocious, but Keanu Reeves is 4 movies in and he can't deliver any of it. Like, everyone's delivering bad dialogue. They were all dealt the same bad set of cards. But bless him, I love Keanu Reeves. He is an incredible... presence on screen, and he's doing all, it looks like he's doing so much of his own stunts here, so
yeah,
fair play to the guy, but bless him, I mean, when he talks, it's like he's been set to 0.5x speed and he just can't land any of the one-liners, none of them. He's like, I guess that I'm back, and Winston, give me a gun.
There's one-liners and then there's one-worders. He's got one-worders in this.
And he can't make it work.
They're just non-sentences.
He's so much cooler when he doesn't open his mouth.
But that's been Keanu Reeves' MO for a long time.
This is true.
This is what we liked about The Matrix, is that he's a blank slate and he looks good on camera. He can do the stuff. But when it comes to... any dialogue of any substance, he's not your go-to guy. But I think what is remarkable is that he has parlayed that into such a colossal career, and that like, he is held in such high regard as like a universally beloved person, and it's almost as if that persona, that the Keanu Reeves of it, the star power, like
bigger than his ability.
But it overtakes. It actually makes you forget. The greatest trick the devil pulled was convincing the world he never existed. And the greatest trick that Keanu Reeves has ever pulled is that he can star in a movie.
That's brilliant. But it, you're right. It doesn't matter that he can't really act, because I just like the guy, and I don't know why. I think, but he's got a very likable off-screen presence as well.
Yes.
He puts out positive vibes into the world. In every interview, he seems very charming and nice. Do you remember when Matthew Perry said something mean about him, and the whole internet rallied for Keanu recently? So he's good. I think he is perfect in these movies. These movies require someone to look like they are just incredible badass fighters, and I believe that with him. That's kind of all that matters.
Totally. And you look at, like, there's Bruce Lee, and there's Jackie Chan. These are action stars and kind of martial artists who have commanded massive, like, movies that have stood the test of time. Not the best actors.
Yeah, exactly.
And he kind of falls into that. I would say maybe doing the two of them a disservice. But I think because it's so arch, and because it's so, like, it's so stylized and so comic book, it kind of doesn't matter, because what's up on the screen is just John Wick.
Yeah, and
it's John Wick.
To your point, like, it's become, they've created all this, like, it's kind of just become so wrapped up. It's a fantasy now. It's got its own iconography. You know, you've got women with tattoos and punk hairstyles operating switchboards. Like, that's a very clear aesthetic they've gone for. There, they're making all these bold choices. Things go up on boards. You exchange tokens. Now there's all these other sets of rules. You know, there's cards and jewels. And so it's like, it's got wrapped up. It's so far removed from reality. And that's what I meant by the first one being almost like a different movie. That was like a dog died and he was getting revenge on the dog. That was the plot of that movie. And there were people, real people, who had no idea about this stupid universe or the Continental Hotel. They were just like people, ground criminals. And then they're hearing about these myths of this Baba Yaga and all that. And that, I was able to relate to those people a bit more. But have you noticed now, we're four movies in, there's not a single person on screen. There's not a single real person who is not in that universe. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
there's bystanders who don't seem to react to anything that's happening.
Incredibly,
where are the police?
So the absence of the police is very apparent in all of these places. These are major
cities.
It
is so public.
These are major cities which have had, I mean, like, let's not dance around it. They've had terrorist attacks in the past.
Yeah.
They are incredibly security conscious.
And they have counter-terrorist forces with incredible response times, cities that are featured in this movie. And
there's
there are the equivalent of terrorist attacks happening on the streets.
There's a sequence in Osaka, and that's not a spoiler, but Japan has incredibly low gun crime and incredibly low rates of gun ownership.
Someone would notice.
there is within that building, there is a massive gunfight, and there are people in that building who don't even hear it.
Yes, exactly. So it's almost like these people don't exist in the same plane of reality as everyone else. Do you know what I mean?
That's an interesting take. Yeah,
they're like ghosts.
But it's I don't know. There's so much weirdness going on, and you know, maybe we do need to kind of verge onto to spoilers. But
yeah, let's just go there. Before we do, what would you recommend? Would you recommend this? I don't think I'd recommend this movie to anyone who doesn't already know what they're getting with John Wick.
Sure.
Right? And I know you said it's chapter four, so why would you recommend that anyway? But I think if you like looking at incredibly well choreographed action scenes, and I think you're bang on with your musical theater thing, because that's a huge production. You can marvel at the amount of work that goes into it, the amount of training and practice and rehearsal for these people to execute all of these movements in a particular way. I do just look at all of it and marvel at it. There is no, I don't think there's an equivalent film series, maybe The Raid in recent memory, yes, or something like that, that that can execute action at this high a level and continue to raise the bar. That's the other thing I will applaud Chad Stahelski for, is each movie they try to do things that they haven't really done before and show you something different. And I felt like, we'll talk in Spoiler Street now in a minute, but I felt satisfied in that regard. I wish this movie wasn't 2 hours and 45 minutes. Does not need to be nearly the length of Titanic, but it is what it is. What do you think, Joe?
Well, so either you're into John Wick at this point or you're not. I would be hard pressed to recommend it when there are three other John Wick movies for you to choose from. I would say you would get equal enjoyment going and watching one of the other ones.
Yeah. So that's,
and there are probably fair. There are possibly better examples of, you know, either two or three. These are not great movies. I have to say, like, they're expertly executed. And let's rewind. I would say that a lot of action movies are not great movies. Even something as beloved as Commando. It's not a great movie. It is an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, that's a good distinction.
Something like Rocky IV is not a great movie. It is, but that is 90 minutes of pure fun.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this is bloated. It is really unrealistic. And I guess, look, it kind of gets a pass for that. It set that up a long time ago. But I guess it's a question of whether the action sequences make up for all of the other deficiencies. Like, for example, having probably one female character with any significant lines.
And the classic Bechdel test is failed.
Immediately.
I don't think, not only do two female characters not have a conversation that is not about a man, there are no two female characters who have a conversation,
yes.
I don't believe. I mean, there's a room full of female characters, but they're basically just there to
deliver
some
exposition.
Hit men to some men to a different location.
Yes, exactly. This is you know what you're getting. If you're listening to this, you know what John Wick 4 is going to be, and you're either on board for that or not.
Yeah. All right. Exactly. All right. Well, if you're still listening, you've probably seen it. You're on board. Let's go to spoilers. Before we do that, though, I would like to do a quick shout out to our patrons over at patreon.com/ the Cinemile, which Joe himself is one of them. Joe has to pay for the privilege hearing myself and Kathy speak.
It is my privilege to pay to hear you talk.
And I know you're thinking, wouldn't you just give it to him for free? No, I must pay like everyone else. But thank you to some, we've had a lot of new patrons, I think thanks to the popularity of Succession, which we're doing weekly episodes on. Maria Cullen is one of our most recent patrons. Thank you, Maria. Thank you to Enda Brennan. Thank you to Amy Lee, to Samuel Willis, and to Mike Minoski. They all subscribed very recently for the price of €3 or €4 a month. You get access to all of our retro movie reviews. We've got about 50 old ones up there. We're about to watch Midnight Run for the first ever time, which neither me or Kathy have ever seen.
Which I voted for because I knew you hadn't seen
Thank you very much, Joe.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I think so too. I'm excited. It's rare to, you know, sit down and just watch a classic that you've never seen. And we're obviously doing weekly Succession reviews. And Kathy and her sister just did an episode on You Season 4, if anyone's watched that. So loads of good stuff over there at patreon.com/ Cinema. I'm a bit out of breath now. I feel like
maybe I've set off at too quick a pace. Let me slow this down.
Is that what this is? You walk faster than Kathy.
Might be. It might be.
Do you know what I'm also noticing? You're taller than
do her. Meet
my
the
arm
mic.
Is no, it's all right.
Okay.
Right. Okay, spoilers now for John Wick, Chapter 4. Right. So you mentioned you knew there are things that you walk away with, and I've the same feeling as you. Like, I'm struggling to sort of pick things out of my memories, but what are the things that did stand out to you?
Well, there's actually an absence that stood out to me, because in Parabellum, which you may remember was chapter 3.
Oh yeah. No subtitle for this one.
No, I guess what's the translation of that? Is Prepare for War? Was
that was
the
it yeah. Anyway, Ian McShane says that. Yeah. I do remember that.
So I think The two main actors out of the Raid series.
Oh yeah, they showed up at the end of that.
Yes.
That was cool.
but they were left surviving and living. So I expected a kind of a comeback or a callback to that. And to see them again would have kind of, you know, would have been nice, I guess.
Alas.
Like with that series being such a huge influence on this series. But in terms of things of interest, so it's kind of weird. The locations that were featured, we had New York,
yeah,
Berlin,
yeah, Japan,
Paris,
Osaka,
and what I suspect to be Jordan. All places that I have visited.
Oh, yeah, and you just got back from Jordan.
So I was in Jordan a week ago, and I mean, I have to look it up, but that desert looked incredibly familiar. I would be shocked if that isn't Wadi Rum in Jordan. But that's a really tiny sequence. Like, they go to it for, I would say, there might be 5 minutes, not even, on screen.
It has become very globe-trotty, and it looks like they shot on the location in
definitely.
A lot of these places.
Yeah.
For sure. Which I also appreciate.
Yeah, totally. So they're obviously trying to mix it up, because you can't have it in one locale.
Yeah.
So in terms of mixing it up, we've gone to Japan, so there's a lot more kind of, you know, samurai,
sword play,
katana, knife play. There's bows and arrows
beautiful
for the
cherry
first time.
Blossoms.
Yeah, always good. Yeah. So they must have filmed in, what is it, April cherry blossom season? Either that or they faked it all, which is equally likely.
could be as well.
So it's also the first introduction of Donnie Yen.
Who was one of the, probably the standout, I think, in this movie. You know, he was fantastic.
Yeah, but nonsensical, completely nonsensical.
Oh, sure. Like, he's Daredevil.
Yeah,
right?
Essentially. What? But
and so, can Donnie Yen only play blind guys now?
It's so strange a choice that he can hold his own in gunfights and, like, aim and target and hit targets and dodge things that are flying at him. And then as soon as the action stops, he's tapping
things to
figure out. Complete nonsense.
And there's a really fun bit where he needs to set up doorbells, which I really enjoyed, with magnets to know exactly where everyone is. But then he never does that again for the rest of the movie. He just knows where everyone is instinctively.
One off.
You know what I mean?
One and done.
So, there's no... For a movie that's so obsessed with rules and consistency, there's very few of those. Bill Sarsgaard is here as well as the villain, who I think is always welcome.
A very, again, really arch, really strange choice. He is just kind of there, menacing. He doesn't do a lot.
No, but I think by that whole bit with the knife in nobody's hand established him as just a bit of a sicko villain, and we don't like him. And I mean, like, that's all you kind of need. And he's got a French accent.
He's got a really
d'accord.
He made some choices with that French accent.
Well, he committed. Yeah.
Go hard or go home, Bill Skarsgård. And
What else? Okay, so the things that stood out to me, I thought the Arc de Triomphe scene was fantastic. I was laughing the whole time. I don't
you
know
were?
Why. I just really just laughed. Every time someone got hit by a car, I laughed. And I don't know why. That's awful. But it was just, I think it's the shock and the surprise of it. It just got me every time. And I thought I've been to the Arc de Triomphe roundabout. It's terrifying.
It's famously an area where you cannot be insured.
Is that right?
Because there's
no
lanes, there's no rules, it's just...
And there's occasional gunfights break out and nobody does anything.
No cops.
No. So I really thought that was fantastic. I mean, I loved the whole... There was a car chase element, then suddenly they're having hand-to-hand combat in between the lanes of traffic. I mean, it's a mad idea, but it was executed, I thought, really brilliantly. I enjoyed it all. Now, I got combat fatigue several times, right? Because there's some action scenes that just bleed into each other. They kind of go along. Sometimes your mind wakes up a bit, but you know, it is like you're in a bit of a stupor for a lot of this movie, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that is, you know, they're essentially superheroes. Everybody in this is a superhero.
Yeah, like when he falls out of that like six-story building. I remember a point in the Die Hard films where suddenly he did that in like Die Hard 4 or something, 5 or something, and then it was, that was the point where it was like, okay, so
he's
Bruce,
impervious.
Yeah, John
yeah.
McClane is just, and again, just like this series, very far removed from where we started, you know.
And I guess, look, that's a consequence of having to up the ante and up the stakes and like constantly refresh and renew. So like, I guess you, I think the Fast and Furious franchise is probably another example
yeah.
where they've gone from like really grounded characters to superheroes going to space.
Based on Point Break with Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
really?
First, well, the first one was a Point Break remake, essentially, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well. So, yeah, I guess
so you're saying John Wick in space is the next one? Except that he's dead.
Yeah,
well, didn't see that coming.
That was a... I mean, look, he's not going to do this forever. And I think four, Bow Out at four is probably, if not timely, then, you know, maybe slightly past where he should have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he should have bowed out. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a John Wick 5 in the works.
But then it's like a prequel or something, or what? Or
I think there's a possibility that they might continue the franchise without John Wick.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Because and they've introduced this new character with this whole backstory.
Oh,
and
so it's Donnie Yen.
Well, I wouldn't think it's Donnie Yen. I'd say it's the nobody character is probably the
focus. Oh, do you think he could have his own franchise, though? I mean, I thought he was quite good, but he... I don't know would I watch a whole film series with him.
No, maybe not. But
yeah.
It all depends on what this pulls in the box office. As long as there's money to be made, they'll keep
making.
Yeah,
that's true. And what was interesting to me is that the producers, I believe the producers of this movie, did another film with Bob Odenkirk called Nobody.
Oh, interesting.
There's a connection to that.
Oh.
So for me, that was a bit odd that they had this character called Nobody as well.
Strange.
There
okay.
is a connection. I forget who the crossover is, but there's a connection between John Wick and Nobody.
Okay. Well.
But yeah, what about... I got vibes at the end of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Right.
With these three characters who we've been following who are, you know, converging in this one location for a duel.
And
right?
I got strong The Warriors vibes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you called that.
Barely conceals that. And that's not even the first time they've done that. I think when they excommunicated him two movies ago,
yeah,
that was
they did that
The Warriors.
As well. Exactly. So specifically, you're calling out someone, a charismatic person over, as it, speaking as a DJ, calling various different gangs
yes.
With ridiculous, with ridiculous, one ridiculous characteristic
pretty much,
for their
yeah.
entire gang.
And look, I love The Warriors. I think it's
like, a good movie. Yeah.
It's really entertaining, but it is, it's been
it's
done.
A cartoon.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think some of the music choices were like, they did like, Painted Black. And they did Nowhere to Run. They're really conventional choices. I was just, because it was in Paris, I was waiting for the moment that they needle dropped some Daft Punk. But instead,
oh, yeah.
they kind of, they went the other way and they dropped the other hard house French duo, Justice, with the song Genesis.
Yes.
But
yeah,
it was a
yeah,
remix
yeah.
of it. So I think it kind of worked for that scene and it was appropriate for the locale. So
I was pretty happy with all the needle drops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Not anything particularly interesting. But yeah, for me, the Paris stuff was a standout. Donnie Yen was particularly good.
The Berlin
too
stuff,
long.
Like, the Berlin stuff, I could take or leave.
Yeah, the Berlin stuff felt like the. Did you watch the Batman movie recently? It felt like you've dressed up a guy in a
yeah.
in a fat suit.
Okay.
With some over the top characteristics, who has his base over a nightclub? It's like that's.
Now that you mention it,
it's exactly
from
the Batman. Yeah.
And that's a good example of a whole lot of clubbers dancing to music. And
paying no attention
to gun and knife fights, right? Like,
yeah.
like as close as you are to me, like
that's what I mean. It's my new theory. I think they're all dead. They're all in limbo. You don't see them interacting with any real people.
I don't think you're the first to come up with that.
Oh,
no,
I think all right,
the,
okay.
the idea that John Wick is working his way through the levels of hell has kind of come up before.
Oh, okay.
It's total nonsense, but then so is the series, so I think it's legitimate.
So anything could go at this
yeah,
stage.
Exactly.
Well, I'll watch a Room 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, documentary about all the mad theories about John Wick. I don't know what else we can glean from this.
So I prepared a little game that we can play. So it's inspired by the John Stewart podcast. The people who work on that had a thing going in the office where they took four actors And if you took the actor and all of their work, you had to choose one to do without. So one that never existed and all of their work gets erased.
Okay.
So in honor of John Wick, I thought I'd give you four action stars.
Oh, okay, go.
And see.
So I pick one of them and their work is erased.
Their
from
work
history
is erased
forever.
And you have never seen it and can never see it.
Okay, go.
So the four I picked: Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver.
I'm keeping him. Sigourney Weaver, oh.
And Linda Hamilton.
Oh, you bastard. I'm sorry, I think I'm going to have to get rid of Linda Hamilton. I do love Terminator 2, but Sigourney Weaver is in Ghostbusters, my favorite movie of all time, plus all of the Alien movies.
It's almost as if this was, like, specifically geared for you.
Specifically hard for me. Oh, God, but then you lose the mate. Yeah, no, it's Linda Hamilton. Yeah. I can live without T2 and the most recent Terminator. And what else am I missing?
You're also missing T1.
T1, all the Terminator. No, I can do without. I could lose Terminators, but keep Ernie. I mean, it's not an ideal situation.
No.
Sorry, Linda.
It's a little bit of a Sophie's choice, but it is the right call. She has the lowest body of work of the four.
Yeah, but high quality caliber.
I think, like,
probably a higher success rate.
True. But to lose. Yeah. Well, she was in. Wasn't she in the. There was like a King Kong sequel that was absolute dog shit. That she
oh,
was
I never
in.
Saw that.
Anyway. It is the right call, but you end up losing one of the top sci-fi time travel action movies of all time and two of the said genres. So there you go.
I stick with my choice.
No, I would have done the same. I mean, if anyone disagrees, they're welcome to do it. But
let us know. Let us know your thoughts. This is how you contact us: at The Cinemile on Twitter, Instagram, or Letterbox. You can contact Joe at Scheidgeist. Is that right? Scheidgeist Pod?
Yeah, not really doing Twitter at the moment.
No, okay.
For various reasons.
Where can I know I deleted it too. Kathy does our social media. Where can people find you or do you just not want to be found?
Don't
He's
find
walking
me.
Around.
Don't
Cork
find me.
Right now.
what I might say is if you want to hear my thoughts, I have contributed to the Wire Stripped, your other podcast.
Ah, yes, good.
So
plug.
That's a good place to find me and Dave and
I didn't
Lance
pay
Reddick.
He pays me.
Lance Reddick is another.
Oh,
person
we should have said R.I.P. to Lance Reddick, who died very recently.
Before the film started, he was dedicated to his honor, and there's a, I guess, fitting tribute somewhat to his character in the movie.
Very sad. Alright, well, thanks thanks for listening, everyone. And reach out to us at The Cinemile, or you can email us thecinemile@gmail.com. Thanks, Joe, for coming on your first ever Cinemile and for absolutely giving me the workout of a lifetime. Kathy must have shorter strides, I guess. Anyway,
thank you very much. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Joe.
I want you to find your peace. But a good death only comes after a good life. You and I left a good life behind a long time ago, my friend. Let's start together.